And now it's time for the Called to Cultivate podcast, the podcast that understands your call to educate, elevate, and enrich the lives of others. Please welcome your podcast host, Regina Coley.
Welcome to the next episode of the Called to Cultivate podcast. I am your podcast host, Regina Coley, the motivator, educator, and cultivator. So glad to have you back for yet another episode. In this week's episode, we are having a wonderful cultivator conversation with Miss Janelle Holland. We are going to talk today a little bit about mental health for entrepreneurs. We are dealing with so much already with trying to start and manage businesses. Heaven forbid you're married, you have kids, you have other things going on in your life on top of your business. It just compounds, and many times we just think that it's a part of the process or a part of the flow. So we accept whatever we're suffering from in silence because it's just the price that we pay for entrepreneurship, which is 100% not true. I was doing a little bit of research, and I found an article that says that entrepreneurs are 2 times more likely to suffer from depression, 6 times more likely to suffer from ADHD, 3 times more likely to suffer from substance abuse, and 10 times more likely to suffer from bipolar disorders. I don't know about you, but that is a bit concerning for me. I know that there are a lot of other aspects that can go into why those numbers may be so high, but that's a little bit alarming. So we're bringing in our wonderful expert this week. Miss Janelle Holland is a licensed clinical social worker, a speaker, a minister, a coach, and an entrepreneur. She is also the founder of the Power for Living movement that intertwines ministry and social work. And she has over 20 years of having worked for social services agencies that serve children, adolescents, adults, and families. So I just feel like her background lets her be the expert in this area. And we're going to have a conversation today. She's going to share some wonderful tips that we could all use as entrepreneurs to help manage our mental health. Hi, how are you today?
I am wonderful, Regina. Thank you so much for having me be a part of your podcast today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for being here. So I don't know if you heard those statistics. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like appealing?
They are certainly alarming, to say the least. Yes. Yes, we definitely have to be careful about, you know, signs and symptoms of mental health problems creeping into our lives as we, one, try to manage a pandemic, which throws us all off of our normal sequence and schedule and how we manage things. And then, two, we know that's going to be heightened because entrepreneurs are trying to make something work, put something together, have their business thrive. So when you mix those two stressors together, it can definitely be a powder keg for entrepreneurs find themselves floundering with trying to deal with everything that's on their plate.
Absolutely. So you mentioned something. One of the things is how can we recognize that we even have an issue? Sometimes a lot of entrepreneurs are starting with a team of one. So it may not be something that other people recognize, but what is something that we can recognize within ourselves to realize that there might be a little bit of a problem?
Sure, that's a great question. So one of the first things I always talk to people about, one of the sure signs that you're not dealing with stress or change or just something new in your life, the first sign you can always look for is a change in your sleep. Some type of disturbance in your sleep. If you find you're having difficulty falling asleep, or you fall asleep but then you wake up frequently, or if you find that your normal time to get out of bed is 7 a.m., but you're waking up at 4 a.m. before the alarm clock goes off, those are the first signs that something is off with us and that we're not managing stress well because our sleep goes out of the window. So if you have that, combined with maybe you're not handling things as well as you would like to. You become easily frustrated. You find yourself snappy, just different from your character. You usually, you know, can handle stress, but you find yourself feeling more pressure, overwhelmed, having crying episodes when maybe nothing's really going on that would require you to start crying, but crying comes out of nowhere. Those are some of the things. Also, if you find yourself maybe isolating more. So I know we're in this time frame where we're doing social distancing. But even in the social distancing, maybe you find yourself staying in the room away from the rest of your family, or you really don't want to be involved in the family activities. You'd rather sit in the garage and just do nothing. So watch yourself that you're not social isolating while you're social isolating. And then another thing, we have to be careful that we're not using those negative coping strategies that we sometimes turn to. So I know a lot of people have been making jokes about, you know, the increase in their grocery budgets while they're in the pandemic, because what is there to do besides eat? But you want to make sure you're not overeating and eating out of stress. Become one of those stress eaters where, you know, you're eating chips here and you're eating some crackers over there, and then maybe you got a chocolate cake, and we just have to watch out for that. And then for those who may consume alcohol, make sure you're not having an increase in your alcohol consumption during this time. So those are some of the things that I would tell people to watch out for in the beginning.
Oh, those are good. And even when you mentioned people who like to just be away from their family, like, yes, we're self-isolating, but if you're super isolating, that's definitely one of those key indicators. And I know that some people are introverted and they need their me time. So definitely just finding that balance is so important. I know I'm extremely introverted, so there's sometimes I'm like, I just need a minute, but being more mindful of that is definitely, that was a great one. One thing I've also noticed, even in conversations around mental health, there is this stigma that if you come and ask for help or if you want to start to receive treatment, sometimes people's family members or friends, you know, there's this stigma that, okay, something is wrong with you, or don't go and tell people that this is a problem because they'll start to think you're crazy, or sometimes people can keep you astray from getting help. What are some of the things that, how can we have like more open conversations and support around really receiving help? Let's say somebody has recognized amongst your list that that is something that they're doing. What are those next steps that they can do to really receive support or help during this time?
So this is one of my favorite things to talk about as we talk about mental health, especially as it may relate to the African-American community or the faith-based community. So one of the things that I always say is asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength, because you're using one of your support systems that you have available to help you during a crisis or a challenge or a problem that you're having. It would be no different if you were driving home from work one day and you got a flat tire. If you don't know how to change the tire, then you call AAA or you call your brother or your uncle or whoever you know that can change the tire, because if you're like me, I don't know how to change a tire. So I'm going to reach out to my support system that can help me. Well, it's the same thing when we reach out for help for mental health. Another thing that I like to say is that having a mental health challenge or problem or seeking mental health services is not some type of personal weakness or moral failure. We certainly wouldn't tell a person who says, oh my gosh, I'm having chest pain. You know, the first thing that's going to come to our mind, are they having a heart attack? Is something wrong with them? We're going to immediately say, call 911, get them to the hospital, take them to the ER. But if someone says, I'm feeling really down, like I can't get out of bed, I'm not feeling myself, which may be signs of depression, we say something to the effect of, oh, you just need to pull yourself together. Well, we didn't tell the person who had the heart attack that, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you'll be better. That's not going to help them get over the heart attack. So we have to change the way we talk about mental health. That's one of the things. Change the way that we encourage people to seek help, because asking for help doesn't show that you're crazy or you have a problem or all those negative terminology that we use that we don't use when we refer to someone with a medical condition. We don't tell a diabetic person not to take their insulin, and we don't tell our family members who have high blood pressure not to take their quote-unquote pressure pills, but we will tell a person who's struggling with depression or anxiety or even bipolar disorder, you don't need that medicine. You can do it. You can do it on your own. So we have to really change how we talk about mental health, because mental health is my health, just like my heart, my lungs, my eyes, all the rest of that.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think that that is where more of our community conversations are being shifted towards, especially when we see a spike in suicide rates and things like that. And we used to joke that, oh, black people don't do that. But black people do commit suicide, and black people do suffer in silence. So I'm so glad that we're getting to even have this conversation today. And yes, we're kind of focusing specifically on entrepreneurs, but to anybody who is listening, whether you're not an entrepreneur or you're just a person who is focusing in on mental health, it is an ongoing conversation. It's something that, like you said, being vulnerable, it's not a weakness. It's really an act of courage. And I think that entrepreneurs struggle in the beginning with just being vulnerable. And I think that this was something that I struggled with terribly in the beginning. Like, I'm not ready to do this, or what if my kids are making noise in the back, or what if I don't look right for the camera? Like, we're just so afraid for people to see who we really are and for that truth to be exposed. But it's just it's so courageous to show, like, hey, I'm a normal person. I'm just like you, and I struggle like you. And when we have more shared experiences and people really giving their perspective on how they've overcome certain situations, it really does empower other people, and it helps them free themselves from the shame that sometimes comes along with mental health. So if you are listening, it's okay to be vulnerable. We need you to be vulnerable. So, Janelle, if somebody is listening today, too, and is recognizing, okay, these are really great tips, but I'm not necessarily suffering from this or suffering from anything at this time. I manage stress well. I'm doing pretty good with my mental health. What are some things that they can do to prevent it so this doesn't even come up at all, if that's even a thing that can be done?
Absolutely. So whether we're talking about entrepreneurs in a normal space or entrepreneurs in the pandemic, one of the things that we have to make sure is while we're nurturing and growing our business and, you know, getting it to that place that we envision it to be, whether it's a six-figure business or a seven-figure, or you're on a certain platform or a certain stage, you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself through that process. And taking care of yourself means attending to mind, body, and soul. So sometimes we try to compartmentalize, like, I'm just going to work hard. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to figure out this thing with my business. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to launch this product. I'm going to figure out how to do this webinar. And we stay there, and we don't realize that it's at the detriment of our own well-being. Like, I stayed up all night. I didn't go to sleep. Or I didn't eat for a whole day because I was on the computer working, or I've got three screens. I've got my iPhone, my iPad, and my computer, and I'm working on all three of them simultaneously, and then I can't figure out why my eyes won't stop watering. So we have to remember that while we're building the business, we have to take care of ourselves. So mind, body, and spirit. My mind, I'm giving myself breaks. I'm giving myself permission to be human, that, you know, I can't be all work and no play. That's going to make an unbalance me. And eventually, as a human being, I'm going to fizzle out somewhere down the line. So my body, I'm going to do something that gets my body moving. So I don't have to be the guy in the gym who's lifting, you know, 250 pounds every day and grunting and sweating. Maybe I just take a 20-minute walk down the block in my neighborhood, or maybe I get on one of these infinite number of videos that people are putting out now where they're working out at home doing something fun. It could just be a dance video. I love Zumba because it makes me feel like I'm dancing and not exercising. So make sure I'm moving my body along with my mind. And then our soul. So that's the inner part of us that needs to be nurtured. So first, as a minister, I would say make sure we're connecting spiritually, that we are not neglecting our faith, that we're using our faith as a support system for us during that time, and that also I'm doing things that also nurture me. Do I enjoy reading? Do I enjoy cooking? Maybe I'm a person that likes to do crafts, or I paint. Whatever your hobby or exercise that you love to do that just makes you feel full and you enjoy doing it, not something that, you know, you're making money or brings you any type of return on it, but something that you just enjoy doing. Make sure you're doing those three things, because that's going to help you to maintain balance so that you can keep going hard in your business.
I love it. And I've always heard, you know, focusing on self-care is so important. And I honestly, just hearing the word self-care, I don't think that that was a word that I heard growing up. So it honestly was something that I had to research. I'm like, what is self-care? What does it mean to take care of oneself? It wasn't a conversation that we always would have in the home. It wasn't even something that I readily saw all of the time. So I think sometimes we have to be mindful when adults are growing up. It just kind of feels like, oh, we should know what that is already. But some people literally do not know what self-care means.
Don't.
And they don't. And it's something that needs to be taught, and it's something that needs to be practiced. And I think when we talk about doing things in excellence, those are those habits that you do regularly, consistently. So we're building up excellence with our mental health. We have to look at what are we doing consistently. You can't, like you said, have a great meal one day and then eat pizza for 5 days following it and expect to feel good because you had a salad on Monday. It's the things that you're doing consistently. So really take a look at some of the habits that you all have, maybe even write them down. I know that I had to write down how frequently I was drinking water. Like some days I realized, wow, it's been 2 days and I haven't had water. But because I'm drinking liquids, it feels like I've had enough, but I haven't had enough of the good stuff. So just writing things down sometimes, journaling, I think will help you keep track of what you are doing, how frequently you're doing them. Because sometimes it's just out of sight, out of mind. If we're not thinking about it, we're not thinking about it.
I was just going to add that especially as women, we're really bad about not taking care of ourselves because we put everyone else first. The kids, you know, hubby if we got those, the job, you know, extended family members, whether that's our parents, grandparents who may be aging. We put all of those other things, choir practice, Bible study, making cupcakes for the Girl Scout troop. Like, we put all of those other things before us, and we forget that if we don't take care of ourselves, we're going to burn out, and we're not going to be there for all of those other people that do rely on us.
Exactly. And I'm a mom of six, so I know. I know what it means to just be too busy, and it's like, at the end of the day, you're wiped. And it's like, where do I even find time to insert self-care? And it was honestly something one of my mentors suggested, like whatever gets scheduled gets done. So when you schedule self-care, you just have to honor your schedule the same way you would any other appointment. Like, we'll recognize that, okay, I have an appointment with this person in business and I don't want to miss it. So you'll put that as high priority, but then it's something that you schedule with yourself. You'll say, well, okay, I can just do that later. No, give yourself the same honor that you would anybody else.
Absolutely.
And honor that time with yourself. So scheduling things out, too, if you're extremely busy, you have a lot on your plate, put it on the schedule and say, hey, today I'm getting that 30-minute nap, or today is my time to meditate, and all of, you know, the kids got to go outside in the backyard and play. Like, I just, you have to maneuver it and make sure that you are making yourself a priority, or this does really blow up and become a much, much bigger problem.
Right.
Excellent. So, Janelle, if somebody wants to get in contact with you specifically for more resources or additional help as it relates to mental health or your counseling or your social work, all of the wonderful things that you do, how can we get in contact with you?
The best way to contact me is through my website, which is, of course, www.janellholland.com. That's the best way you can reach out with me, either through our contact me page or on our services page, just to see some of the services that we're providing. We're going to be rolling out doing telehealth counseling in the next week or so that people who, you know, can't come into the office can still get services. That's another service that we're going to be providing for those in our community. And that will be for anyone in the state of Georgia that will be able to access those services with me. So please do contact us, reach out to us. Also on our website, you can connect to our different social media pages. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So please reach out. Stay connected with us.
Excellent. Utilize that resource, especially if you're in Georgia. Have so many friends and family in Georgia. Connect with Janelle. I also want to say if you or somebody that you know is really and truly in a crisis, I want to share with you the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It is 1-800-273-8255. I think that's an important number to have, like, to write down. I keep the number in my wallet because I always think to myself, if something, you know, like, crazy is happening, if I run into somebody, I don't even know that number. Like, I don't have that those things readily available to me. So sometimes just keeping things on your person in times of emergency, it's just good to know who you can talk to and who you can have in your corner. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Janelle. This was a beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
So if you like today's episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you are listening in from. I'd appreciate you leaving a positive review. When you do, screenshot me a copy to Regina@ReginaColley.com. I'll send you a free gift. Until next time, take care, guys. Bye-bye.